With this scripture this morning, it actually would have been fitting to leave the children among us, huh? For the little child shall lead them. Merry Christmas, everyone. This is the Christmas season. This is the time that we celebrate, that we truly celebrate that divinity, the divinity of God has come among humanity. That divinity has become humanity. That divinity has saw fit to indwell humanity. What a celebration. Let us pray. Emmanuel, you are with us. You are with us. Thank you, Lord, for this morning. Thank you for being born. Thank you for living. Thank you for dying. And thank you for getting up that third day. We come before you now. We need a word from you. Use me as your vessel, O Lord. Let us have ears to hear, to Shema, hearts to receive, eyes to see, which you are yet saying to your church, to your children, for you are a good father. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And let the church say amen. Amen, amen. Thank you, Rachel, for beautiful reading of the Word of God. There's two scriptures, two verses in particular that I want to highlight from that beautiful reading this morning. Two scriptures that I see interplaying and dancing, as it were, with one another. Mary says, Scripture says, when his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother, Mary, said to him, "Child, why have you treated us like this? Look, your father and I have been searching for you in great anxiety." That's what Mary said to her baby boy. And that 12-year-old preteen answered his mama, "Why were you searching for me? Did you not know? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house?" Other translation said, "Did you not know that I must be about my father's business? Did you not know?" Luke's gospel gives us a great background to this story. So the lectionary always plops us right in the middle of a story. But Luke has been bringing the reader on a beautiful story. Angels have been visiting. The divine has been coming down to earth constantly in Luke's gospel. Zechariah is told that the Spirit is about to descend on his own child in the spirit and the power of Elisha, one of Israel's big time prophets. Mary, this preteen Palestinian girl, is told that you will conceive in your womb. And a group of shepherds living in the fields, unsheltered, as it were. To you is born this day in the city of David. Think of kingdom, a savior who shall be Messiah. All throughout Luke's gospel, we're already seeing some astonishing things. And there are lots of questions, because that's what humanity all said. Zechariah, "I am an old man and my wife is getting up there in age." That was his way of saying she was old too. "How can this be?" since I am a virgin, asked Mary. That's a practical question. Many, many prophecies are fulfilled in Luke. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, says Simon. There at the temple, the prophetess Anna also begins to praise God and to speak of this special child that she's been waiting for in the temple. You see, this child, Mary's baby boy, is very special indeed. But this child has already come in contact with some dangerous folks. We must remember in Matthew's gospel, this vision that was given to Joseph: get up, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him. Destroy him. The truth is, Mary's question and her great anxiety makes some sense. For this child, although he is special and a lot of astonishing things have been happening, he is also in great danger. There are many other mothers who have had to deal with real danger with their special baby boys. Many, many mothers for centuries have been trying to negotiate great anxiety. My mother reminds me of the 80s when I was born, so long ago. And when I was small, how there was a big deal of folks stealing children out of the malls. This was the time of America's Most Wanted, and all of the anxiety when she would take me to the mall. And there I was, this 3 or 4 year old during Christmas time, just wanting to play, getting lost in the racks in the Macy's department store. Great anxiety. Or how I was so perplexed when I moved from New Jersey to North Carolina. I was used to allowing Mark, my child, my little brown boy, to roam free. And I would take him in Target or Walmart, always with him in eyes view, but I would not hold his hand. I would let him roam, especially to the toy section, so he could look and then come back and tell me everything that he wanted. I began to be perplexed, though, because many black women would always, with great anxiety, go over to Mark and ask him, "Where is your mother? Where is your mother?" And I would say, "Ma'am, here I am." This happened enough times that I began to wonder, what is going on? Why are all the black women so concerned about my little black boy being away from his mother? When I asked my own mother and some of my aunts, they said, "Don't you know? Back in slavery and in Jim Crow, it was vital that you would keep your little brown, black girls and boys close to you, because someone might snatch them and maybe sell them. You would be separated from your child." So their great anxiety made sense. Or now in our country, women and men fleeing violence from Latin American countries, having to contend with what it means to come to a border of the land of the free and the home of the brave, and perhaps to have their children snatched from them. Great anxiety at the thought of a child in a cage, or perhaps dead, as we have seen over the last couple of weeks. No, Mary had a reason to be concerned about her little Jewish brown Palestinian boy great anxiety. She was not being an overprotective mother. She was just being a good mother, concerned about where her marginalized little boy was, her special baby boy. After figuring that he would be in the group that was traveling back to Nazareth from Jerusalem, she began to worry. After one day, she begins to look among the family and the friends, and the anxiety grows. And then they began to say, perhaps we need to go back to Jerusalem. And for 3 days, 3 days, they search for this 12-year-old. When they finally get to him, they are astonished. And his mother says, child, why have you treated us like this? Look, your father and I have been searching for you in great anxiety. Mary. Luke's gospel gives Jesus the opportunity to speak for himself. Before this, he is being prophesied over. Angels are telling of his coming. But now, for the first time, Jesus gets to tell us about himself, even before he becomes Jesus, the traveling rabbi. Why were you searching for me? Did you not know that I must be? Oh, he's compelled. I must be in my father's house. Did you not know that I must be about my father's business? I don't know about you all this morning, but 2018 has been a little rough on this black New Jersey girl. Had to move from an area basically fleeing racism. Came here and made instant friends. And then I get hit with the truth yet again of a country that, when I studied politics, I knew didn't have it all together. But a good patriot is always encouraged to push her country a little farther. But the seat here reminds me that we aren't as far as we need to be. A brother snatched from our midst. Where is Jesus this morning? Where has Jesus been for 2018? Some of us may be asking ourselves that. We are like Mary, searching for Jesus. Jesus tells us about himself this morning. Yes, a 12-year-old preteen. He is in his father's house. Don't miss it. He is where you are right now. And many will say, you don't have to come to the church. But if I remember, scripture says, don't forget to assemble yourselves. There's something about being in the midst of the saints. Something about being in your father's house. Jesus said, I am here. Jesus is giving us a new understanding of family. God is my father. God is our father. This breaks down every familial wall. See, when Mary tells her, your father and I have, tells Jesus, your father and I have been looking for you. He says, this is my father's house. God is my father. Later, he will say, who is my mother and my brothers? But those who do the will of the Father. Jesus is giving us a new holy family. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. Jesus is there in the temple, in his father's house, engaging in the word. Don't miss it. The 12-year-old is engaging in the word, and the scholars had to say he has great understanding and he has answers for us. Thanks be to God. That's where we need to be too. When we are searching for Jesus, don't neglect the word, for the word became flesh and dwelt among us. We can go through and look at our Father's house and family and the word, but please don't forget that Jesus was born to a Jewish Palestinian family in the midst of empire. When he sat in that temple, he was sitting among a marginalized people. He was a marginalized person. We can always find Jesus in among the marginalized. That's where the Spirit wants to dwell. Some of us are searching for Jesus like Mary. Sometimes with great anxiety. Life by itself, oppression, fear, anger, all of the reasons that we feel like Jesus is far from us. Visited by angels, even overwhelmed by the Spirit, Mary herself, the one who first knew Christ was close, even in her womb, searched for her own child. It is not a bad thing to be honest and say, right now, I need a little more Jesus. I need to feel Jesus. I need to know that Jesus is close. Don't be ashamed. Even the Theotokos, the Christ bearer, looked for Jesus too. But Jesus' answer to his mother, and my hope for all of you today, will be that we can say with confidence, just like our big brother did, I will be about my Father's business. I will dwell in my Father's house. And it's hard to always know what God's will is. What is God up to today? But what we can be sure about is that relationship. John Wesley reminds us that not only is God a good father, but she is a loving parent. A loving parent who searches for us too, just like Mary. Thanks be to God.